the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood. Amen. Let's just listen to the instruments. Just clap our hands. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. Jesus, oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So while we're standing, let's have Brother Wade come. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as he comes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Your song.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, say, God bless you. Good to be back. Good to be with the home folk. Good to be here. We are privileged people. I thought, man, when Brother Dale took up that offering, that'd be the biggest offering we'd ever got. Terrence said it was the smallest. The smallest offering we ever had, and the pastor looked you right in the face. You mean, man, come on now. I really did. I really, he was kind of slow, you know. He was kind of. You fly through there, you know, sometimes, you know, you miss people. They're doing this, but boy, when you go slow and you look people in the face and you go. It happened in the church a long time ago, well, a while back. A preacher, no, I don't need that. Preacher did that and he quit going to church. That's the truth. He said a preacher ain't supposed to take up offerings, so he just quit the church. I mean, he didn't just make a statement, he quit the church. So anyway, whatever. If he don't show up next Sunday, we'll know. Or Wednesday. If he doesn't show up Wednesday, then we'll know he got mad at Luis. Just get mad, Luis. Don't get mad at the rest of everybody else. Just get mad at Luis. But good to be here. God bless you all. Good to see you. House full of good-looking people. Remember, Mother's Day is next Sunday. And Mama wanted to remind us of something else. Why, honey? Oh, that is correct. I'm sorry. Brother John called me between services, and you remember Brother John Wood and Sister Mai. Sister Mai passed out today, and they took her to one. He was calling me, and I guess as they were taking her to the next hospital, but they didn't. They couldn't stabilize her at one hospital, so they were rushing her to another hospital. So let's just keep. Remember Brother John and Sister Mai that sit over here that was with us, that we sure appreciated them being with us. Well, he called from Virginia and said to please have the whole church pray. So as we. When we pray, we'll just continue lifting her up, and that they'll find out. Not that they'll find out what's wrong with her, they'll find out what's right with her. Amen? And that God will move on the scene and do what he said he would do. All right? All right, so remember, too, then the fellowship meeting will be the next Saturday. And also, June, just keep this on your calendar, June 16, 17, and 18 is when we're all going to. The guys are going to Lake Tugalo. We got four cabins to accommodate 32 people, so they're all air conditioned. We can fish, and we're gonna have some good food and good fellowship. So just keep us in your prayers. So also remember that. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to review today, but I want to read this one scripture, just kind of put the bait on the hook. Because remember, we're finished with the six seals, and now we're entering into number seven. And the seventh seal, there was a brother that watches in online. He talked to Dad and myself about And I kind of knew that, but if you'll watch on the seventh seal, listen to Brother Branham, he's really, on all the other seals, he's like spot on. But when he gets to that seventh seal, remember he preached it, and then the next day he wasn't happy with it, so he goes back to the motel room where Brother McGuire and Brother Fred Softman was, and he redid part of the seventh seal because he wasn't happy with the first part of it. And I think we'll kind of understand that as we go through it. Because remember, there's silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. So, he said nothing's going on. Nothing's being revealed. So we'll get into that. But let's review the six seals first. Let's bow our heads. Remember, Sister Mai. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to be here, to stand before the absolute, absolute greatest people that ever lived on the face of this earth. Is the bride of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you just bless them today, Lord. Give them supernatural revelation. Lord, just keep us all attentive to what's going on. Father, we pray that you would be the active participant in this service, because if you do, then somebody will get something out of what's being said. Lord, we pray that you'd just forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord, against you. Lord, just keep us in your will. Be with Sister Mai, Lord, whatever that situation is, we call on the Holy Spirit to go there in Virginia and settle that situation, Lord. And be with Brother John also. And as he spoke very nervously on the phone, and you know, that's his love. So Lord, he has a little bit of fear, Lord. We pray that you just take him out of that, that you would just give him supernatural strength and let him look to you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Just be with each one. Lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Be with Brother Ernie, Lord, as we were reading his text a little while ago, being over there in the Philippines, Lord. Hadn't been there in a long time, so we pray that you'd just give him supernatural strength and let him say, Lord, something that will help the people. Be with us now and take care of us. Be with the other missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Give them fruit for their labor. Grant it, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 19, verse 30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You may be seated, Lord, and add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, that's not going to have anything to do with what we're going to talk about right now, but that's going to be part of what we're going to talk about in this seventh seal. Now, to just background a little bit on that, just let's be careful that, remember, people have made the, and we're just going to talk today, I may not even raise my voice. The seventh seal has been talked about. It's open, it's not open, it's polygamy, it's two souls, it's a great revelation that nobody knows, which that I believe, it's a revelation that they don't know. Okay? If you say the seals are not open, then you're exactly correct. To you. Because you've closed them. Amen. I believe the seals are open. I believe we're living in an open book age, because we see Revelations 10 that mighty angel came down from heaven with a book that was open. And he came down what? To give it to us. So the book is open. John didn't eat a closed book. He ate an open book. All right. So that book is open. So when you hear somebody say that I believe the seals are closed or not open yet, just agree with them. And then tell them, say, well, maybe to you they're not. But to me they've been open. Okay? Maybe it'll spark a little interest. I don't know. We'll see. That we know we're coming to a great hour now to where we are. It's going to be just like the Lord. We're going to be almost by ourselves here toward the end. The Lord Jesus never was popular. He was the seventh seal. Still is the seventh seal. I say was. But him being the seventh seal, he was a great mystery. He was the greatest mystery that ever stepped foot on the face of this earth. Right. Is that God Almighty could be in human flesh and die for your sins. But the great part that we see, we are a beneficiary, Brother Branham says, of that, because he resurrected, come back on the day of Pentecost inside the believer. Right. So that makes us the benefactor or the beneficiary of what he did. Right. So in being the beneficiary of what he did, then I'll just give you a key. We were talking downstairs just a little bit, because Brother Branham said the seals are Christ. Amen. It is the complete book of redemption, and it's Christ revealed to me and you. All right? So what is one of the great mysteries is, Brother Branham preached, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. So now I want to ask you a question. Where's Christ? Where's Christ?
I am.
I am. Thank boy, y'all have really, we haven't been here a while, so. We are Christ. If not, then we're another form, or we're a begotten, which makes us a grandchild. Or we've got a second person of a Trinity somewhere. See how we are? We can't be, if you have Christ in you, then you are the mystery. And you must be revealed, because that's what the end time, that's what the seventh seal is to me, is the coming of the Lord. But now it's not the coming of the Lord physically. He doesn't come physically. It's the coming of the Lord in you physically. In a group of people called a bride. So we want to keep these things kind of in the back of our mind. And remember too, when Jesus said it is finished. Now when Jesus said it's finished, he died. The body didn't move until Sunday morning. But was something going on. Amen. There was something going on. As soon as that soul left that body, he went straight to hell and started preaching to the souls in prison, going to paradise, emptying out paradise. So when Jesus said it is finished, as far as we see and as far as what happened on the surface of the earth, nothing happened. Jerusalem went right on doing the same thing they were doing. They had their Passover, which fell on that Sabbath. That made it a high Sabbath. That's why they had to get Jesus off the cross before 6 o'clock. Because remember, Jewish days begin at 6 o'clock p.m. That's why Jesus died on Friday before the 6 o'clock. They had to get him off the cross and put him in a tomb because Saturday they didn't do anything. That was their Sabbath. All right, but we know something. The greatest thing that ever happened went on. He went to hell, preached to them. Locked them back up where they were. He come up through paradise, picked them up, took them up, come back down, and brought his body out of a tomb.
Right.
All right, so there was a lot went on when that silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. I believe something is going on. Amen. Because remember, God is never silent. There's always something going on. All right, so just remember that when we come to that next Sunday, something is happening. So if you will, let's turn to Revelation 6 and let's just kind of review. I know we started this in February a year ago. So we've been on this for a while, and sometimes, we're all human beings. We lose some of the points. So I just want to bring out some of the points, if that's all right. So what I said today, we're just kind of be vanilla. And just try to get everybody back on the same page, because if the seventh seal doesn't open, then Christ doesn't come. But we know that he says he's coming back, and he is coming back in the bride, so we know it's open. It's open to somebody. There, the seals have been open to somebody, and that's, you know what? Sister Johnny, you just got to say that's me. Every one of you says, it's me. I mean, I'm the one. Because listen, we're in this church age right here. And in being in this church age right here, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everybody okay while you're doing that? Just maybe pray for Sister Ma again. Boy, they're just so dear people. Good grief, they're dear people. Enjoy them being here. Amen. All right, so now let's talk about this for a minute. Revelation 6, let's start. And then I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard it was the noise of thunder. Now, we'll get into that in a little while, but not right now. One of the four beasts said, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a what? Had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, pay attention that these things were, a crown was given unto him, and as we see later on, that he is given power. It is a permitted power. You and I have power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. That's what the Bible says. You and I have power once that the Holy Ghost come upon us. But the devil can't get the Holy Ghost, so he don't have any power. The only power he has is the power we give him. Amen? I mean, that great little powerful scripture that says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's pretty powerful, but it's so simple. Just resist him and he'll flee from you. All right? So now remember, we saw that the horse was white. It was a white righteous church that came out in the first three church ages. Well, I got them right here. So this is seal 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is the seven church ages. We went through this. I'm just going to go through it again. Is that all right? Yes. Amen. Is that okay? Just a little refresher course. Then we're going to take communion. And I hope somebody put warm water in that communion water. Who got the communion water? Thank you, Zach. Don't ever let Donnie Fawbush do it again. Lord, we were all up here. I thought we got a revival. We're speaking in tongues. We put our feet in that water and it was like 32 degrees. We had to bust the ice to get in. I said, where did you get that water? Oh, anyway. Aaron Roberts squealed like a baby. Where's Aaron? He's gone. He squealed like I was washing his feet and he put his feet, went, ah! So thank God we got warm water today. Thank you, Brother Zach. I appreciate that. Bless your heart. You and Brother Josiah, y'all do a good job. Y'all are good brothers. Little brother John back there too. And I saw and beheld a white horse. So this white horse, remember, he was a bluff. He was a white horse, so he didn't start out in a bar room. He started out in a church. He got in the church. He got in the church, the first church, which was a white righteous church. Amen. They had everything right. They had all the no denomination, all the doctrines that we hear now and then all this other stuff. It came from that white horse rider guy that got in the church ages and started polluting everything. Amen. But he did it under the auspice or under the power of a white righteous church. And you know what? Satan's not in the bar room today. He's right here. So he's still trying to get in that white righteous church. Amen? So there was a white righteous church that started on the day of Pentecost, right here, on the day of Pentecost. And for the first three ages, they had a pure word, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the lion, one of the four beasts.
Right.
The first beast was lion, not lying, lion.
Right.
They were bold. But now Satan also came in and he rode right beside that white righteous church. And he actually got inside that white righteous church. Amen? Because that first three church ages, there was no Trinity. There was no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Sure, there were sayings. Those things I didn't cover because you should know that, because anything starts as a saying. I mean, I can whisper something to Sister Rebecca here, and by the time it gets to Dad, it ain't nothing I said.
Right.
You ever played that before? Yeah, well, it won't be nothing. Because it'll have about 85 interpretations by the time it gets back up to here, right? So that's the same way it was with Satan. He goes in with a saying, but they didn't cut it completely off. It kind of reminds me that when Joshua went into the promised land, you know, God told him, he said, destroy them all. But they left a few. There was a few of this that left and a few of that, and they always had trouble with that few that they left. If they would have just killed them all, they wouldn't have no problem with them. Right? Same way with demons and things that if we need to kill them, if they kill them, they don't resurrect. Amen? So we look in the first three church ages that they let that thing in, that white horse with the guy sitting on it, which is Satan, started riding through the church ages, and in the first, about the end of the third church age, about the Nicene Council, what happened?
Yeah.
It's not just a saying.
Right.
It becomes a deed.
Right.
Then it becomes a doctrine. Then it become incarnate in the people. All right. So like Brother Dale's been talking about, you know, four is not a bad number. Four is always a number of restoration, because you had your lion, ox, man, and eagle. So you had four horse riders that went out and you had four combat beasts to combat those riders.
Right.
All right. So four is not a bad number when you use it that way. its earthly number, which is fine. But listen, if we don't have, you can have justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's fine. But if you don't have the Word incarnate,
right,
you're not going to take a body change.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
So that's what we're heading toward here. So we look now, we see too that in Revelation 6, we see this white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. But also we remember on the flip side of all this, that we saw that if this is the, and I'm saying if for your, purpose, this is a book of redemption, not a book of the devil. It's a book of redemption. It's how you and I come to be fully redeemed, body, spirit, and soul. That's what the seven seals are for. No more, no less. All right, so that's okay to learn that the white horse rider is the Antichrist. But that was the seal that had the thing sealed. If you'll remember, back when I started this whole thing, we started with the paper. Because remember, that book in Revelation 5 is not a book. That book in Revelation 10 is not a book. It's not, well, that's not a book. It's not a book. It's a scroll. This is what they used to make books out of. They didn't make books out of like what we were talking about here. And there was a seal on that that had it sealed. Well, the white horse rider, the Antichrist, was the seal that had all that good stuff written down inside of it. You can see that, right? But you can see what's written in there, but you can't make out what it says. You can't read in circles. But when the seal was broke off in 1963, when it took a prophet, from God to get the revelation from God to tell us that that seal is the Antichrist. And then the seal went off. And then this opened up. So that you can see what's inside of it. Now everybody wants to go with the seal. Well, we know the seal, that's the seal of the Antichrist, and that's the opening of the seal. No, that's not the opening of the seal. That's the tearing off of the seal. The opening is what's underneath, because that has nothing to do with redemption, just knowing that the white horse rider was the Antichrist. Part of it, but not all of it. What your redemption is what's written on the inside. What was previously not shined on, if you'll remember the vision that Brother Branham had about the pyramid, where he whipped the top off and he looked down in there. Now look, most people, this is the way they see that vision, is that Brother Branham took the top off the pyramid and wrote something inside of it. Because they try to make him say all kinds of different things. But he didn't say that. He said, I looked and there was something written inside the pyramid that light had never shined on. It wasn't that he was writing something new. It was already in there. It was just now light was shining on it and he could read what it says. So that was, to me, that's the opening of the seals. The opening of the seals is to open the word up so that we can plainly see what it is. That it's redemption. It's your redemption and my redemption. We went all the way through six seals and we come up to the sixth seal and it even shows the redemption of the earth. We just covered that. The redemption of the earth. So I want to go through this real slow. That way we'll get it. Make sure that we see the types. Because you're going to see a lot of times that, I was thinking about this last night. We were talking about interval last time we were speaking, and you take a play and the acts of a play. You've got your actors and you've got all the things on the stage, and then they close the curtain, they change the scene, bring out another scene, and there's an interval in there, and then they open the curtain back up. Same thing happened to this. Seal number one was closed. They opened up. The prophet of God was here. He pulled the curtain back and said, hey, here's seal number one. Well, they had to close back up so they could get everybody off the stage and get the second church age, or get the second seal back on the stage. Because if you'll remember, Brother Branham says this is an act of a play.
Right.
An act of a play. Right. Well, I want to tell you something. This is not just an act of a play. This is a vision that you and I are in.
Right.
Brother Branham said this is not real. He said, this is really not the real you. Remember? He said, you know, the ones he hugged over in the sixth dimension, they're more real than we are. So this is the part of God that we do have to remember. There's no redemption in the sixth. There's no redemption in the sixth dimension. They're already redeemed. There's no redemption in heaven. Nobody needs redemption up there. There's definitely no redemption in hell. So where's redemption? Right here. Redemption happens in these first three, life, light, and matter. This is where we get redeemed. Okay? Redemption's not in heaven. Redemption happens on the earth. So that's why the seals, that's why Brother Brown said the thunder sounded on the earth. They sound here, right here where we're at today. So under this first seal, we see a white righteous horse or a white righteous man riding along throwing out his doctrine. But then we also see that we see that word justification. Now justification is what? Chopping off your past sins. It makes you white. Right? So that's the way we typed it, and we see the type of justification, because what is justification a part of? Redemption.
Right.
You must keep these words going right, because it's the plan of redemption. Or the play of redemption. You, whichever one you want to call it, it's the acts of a play. Because really, in God's mind, we're already redeemed.
Right.
Really, in God, really, listen, the Bible's already told us those who He's justified, He's already glorified.
Right.
So what are we in? We're in acts of a play. We gotta make our, we gotta go out and do our part. And once we get our part done, we leave.
Right.
We go into another dimension and God wipes this place off.
Right.
But we gotta see then, like Brother Dale was talking about the other day, justification in its baby form is that your past sins are chopped off.
Right.
Now in the seals, that's not true as so much as that, because justification is not, sure, we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins every day, right?
Exactly.
But those things we used to do, we should not be asking God to forgive us of those things that we used to do.
Right.
All right? We ask God to forgive us because of the wrong thoughts and the wrong things that we do as far as humanity. But when we come to this justification, Brother Branham said it was as if you never done it. You're heading toward a part of you to see that the real you didn't do it to start with. Is that all right? See, that ought to thrill your heart. That ought to thrill your heart that we come to a place that we know that we know that we know that we did not do those things. Amen? In other words, that just is a vapor. It just went away. It's not in God's mind. So it's not so. What sins are you talking about? Somebody ought to write a song about that. Yeah. Well, you'll get it in a minute. Some of you will. Okay. But justified, justified. You have not done it in the first place. Justified, you know the song there. All right, somebody did write one about that one. But see, that's what this justification is. This justification is not chopping off your big sins. It's a continuation of going on that God is what? God is not telling you you're going to be redeemed.
Right.
He's telling you you already are redeemed.
Right.
Okay? This justification is telling you. Now, the first baby form justification, remember, you get justified and you still have that old man inside of you that made you do that. That's why justification is not the new birth. Justification is part of salvation. And if you were to die suddenly, like the thief on the cross and the different things, God could not judge you for any of your past sins because you don't have any. You don't have any. Amen? But that's under baby form justification, because the person in there that did it is still there. That old nature, that old fallen nature is still attached to you, making you do the things you used to do. Now, that's still a journey. As Brother Dale's preaching, I'm glad he's bringing this in, because it helps us all to see where we are. We got to know where we are. Take a refresher course. You know, just like now, we're taking a refresher course of our salvation. And then you can be able to say amen or oh me, one of the two. I hope y'all say amen, but some are going to say oh me. And that's okay that you say oh me, because to realize that you need more. And that's all of our job, is to make you realize you need more. Okay? You need more of God. So this justification is as if you never done it. It's not that God's going to chop your past sins off. He's already done that. This is coming to a realization that, hey, man, I'm maturing. I am justified. I got trapped into it. I'm living a Christian life. When you come to this part of justification in the seal, in the first seal, look, you make Satan powerless.
No.
You make him powerless. You do.
Amen.
The only power he gets is when, like Brother Gary Atkins says, we give him a bunch of arrows. How can you hunt with just a bow? You can't kill nothing. But time. Yeah, try to go bear hunting with just a bow. You'll realize real quick, it will become a revelation, as that brother said, that you got the wrong equipment. Real quick. So that's the same way with Satan. He's got the wrong equipment, but we think he's this great, some big something that we can't overcome. Well, I believe the first seal opening tells us, shows us that we're justified.
Amen.
In God, not in that. In God, we're justified.
Amen.
And the real person is coming to a realization that they didn't do it to start with. Amen? Because you can't blame what you did in your past life on the new birth.
That's right.
You can't blame what you did on what you got now.
That's right.
That's why I believe in. You want me to say that again, Brother Kylie? He's like, what? You can't blame. I can't say it again. I forgot. But you can't say that, you know, everybody says the devil made me do it. No, you did it. He just helped you do it. Because if it was that easy, we'd just send the devil to hell and we'd all go to heaven. No, you got something to do with it. You do. All right? You give him the arrows to shoot you with a bow. When if you didn't give him any arrows, he couldn't shoot you. But that part of justification is not the baby form part that God forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Save me. Now that's not that justification. That justification, like I said, is bringing you to a position to tell you that one inside of you never did it, because it was not in you when you did it. That's why I do not agree with the people in the message that says you always was eternal. You had eternal life in your soul. Not when I was doing the things I did. Hello? You tell me you look back through your life at the things you did. You think God was in you? No, the reason he's in me now is why I don't do them things no more.
Right.
Amen? That's why I believe in a justification. Now, why would Brother Branham, see, this is another thing that bothers me. They say Brother Branham taught that you always was eternal and you never needed eternal life. But now, why would he make a statement that at 12 years old I would have got saved had it not been for that demon? Well, if he always was eternal, what was the demon have to do with it?
Right.
No, Brother Branham will tell you a story how he used to wash his car on Sunday, not go to church before he got born again.
Right.
A prophet on Sunday washing his car, watching people go to church. No, he might have been a prophet, but he didn't have the new birth. If he had a new birth, he'd been in church.
Right.
Amen? So that's just, to me, that's what the great mystery of this whole thing is that Brother Branham never changed the Bible. He cannot change the Bible. He cannot change the way that we're saved. He cannot change the way that we not going to get a new body, like new, throw this one away and pick up another one. We're not going to do that. It's going to be this body redeemed. Amen? Everybody understand that? That's another easy thing. It'd be real easy to throw this one away and just God make you a brand new one. No, the hard part is to get this thing changed. This thing that was born in sin. See, that's why we go back and we think, well, this thing was born in sin. It's justified. I have not done it in the first place. If you realize that, then you got to take this guy with it. This what's going to change this body is for us to realize that work of the change of the body is already in us.
Amen.
It's not somewhere. It's not something some preacher's going to lay hands on you to get a body change. It's inside you. Right now. Everything you need's inside of you. Amen? All right? So there we go, justification. We come to a place to see that that white horse is not riding in our life anymore. He's riding away. He's riding off. He's taking a trip away from us. And don't let it be like a boomerang. Okay? Stop it. Let him just keep on going. Brother Brown says that horse just rides right on into eternity. I want him to ride so far away from me till I never see him again. Amen? So there we go with seal number one. We see it's the first church, three church ages. It was the lion of the tribe of Judah went forth with the boldness of preaching the gospel. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee.
Right.
Rise up and walk. There was that first three ages. But by the time we get to the fourth age, every bit of that just goes away.
Right.
All right? Because that horse, somebody listened to what that saying was and made it a deed. All right, so let's go to Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. So this is another power. Same rider, but another power, another angle Satan has to get to you.
All right?
Because look, these seals are for you.
Amen.
You say, oh no, that happened back. They're for you.
Right.
And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace. See, power was given to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. We know what a sword is. It's a word. All right. So there was a word given unto him, what, at Nicaea to change everything over to what we see now and start setting up denominations. All right. Everybody okay with that? Say amen. All right. So this is a red horse rider. Now what does always red signifies? Sanctification. Red through red is white. All right. Everybody with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Punch your neighbor. German chocolate cake. Punch your neighbor. When y'all say amen, do this. And that way everybody will stay away. Don't amen up like this. Amen like this. We'll see who's got brotherly kindness. I'm up here by myself. I'm fine. Y'all just don't start beating on each other. So that's the red horse rider. Now we see that what Brother Brown told us is that, remember, that was starting in. And remember what we said. All this is, these are all lap overs. You see how I've got them kind of straight? They're all lapped over. There's one lapping over to the other. All right, because what happened was they should kill one another. What was the worst killing was the word. They killed the people's influence, and they physically killed 68 million Christians starting into this time as that red horse rider. Brother Brown said that horse rode through the blood of the martyrs, of the saints of God. All right? Is everybody okay with that? And that was the ox age, which was the labor. There was not a lot of exciting thing goes on with an ox. But that joker, if you want him to pull something, you just put a little something out in front of him, he just keeps pulling. And he pulled him right through that longest church age, which is between 3, 4, and 5. That's 1,500 years of dark ages. And we see it's church age number 4. And it shows, to me, that shows sanctification, not the sanctification that you're cleaned and set aside for service. That was the baby form sanctification. God cleans the jar up and then puts you to where you can be filled, and he can put you in service. Is that all right? Say amen. Now this sanctification, he's not going to put you back down in the mud and then bring you back out again. No, he's got a higher order for you. He's got a higher position. The stature of a perfect man. He wants to now clean you up so much to micro clean you. Clean all the, even down to the molecules. He wants to just steam clean you. Amen. Not the inside guy now. We're talking about the memories and conscience for the spirit realm of the man. Because you're born again inside your soul. If you're born again, you don't need to be sanctified in that inner man. He's already sanctified. He's already took a rapture, really. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So we're working on the middle man, the memory, reason, conscious, effects, and imagination. That's what we're working on. And God's going to start cleaning that up. He's going to start cleaning us up by what? Red blood, the bleeding word of God.
Glory.
Amen? The bleeding word of God. Every Sunday, we get a dose of the bleeding word of God. And it should wash us out.
Right.
Amen? Is that all right?
Yep.
It washes us. It keeps us clean. It doesn't clean us up the first time. We've already had that. We've already got the new birth in our soul. It's cleaning up that memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. It's putting our, what? Setting our affections toward God. Setting our place to where God can, I told them this morning in Bible study or Sunday school class, God's not going to take a Christian child is not going to take a body change. They don't know how. It's like driving a car. A kid's a kid's a kid, but don't give a 5-year-old kid a car.
Right.
Amen? That person has to be mature because we read in Hebrews where Paul told us, said, you can drink milk, but you're a baby.
That's right.
But you desire these other things. You want the meat, what? So that we are given to a mature group of people. And that's what we're trying to be, is more mature group of people.
Yes.
Not a babbling Pentecostal baby.
Right.
That was okay at one time.
Sure.
That was fine. That's your journey. Here we go through our journey. This is a journey.
Right.
You might say, oh, well, that's back in the church ages. No, this is the compartments of you.
Right.
Do you read these church ages as history? That's church age book. If you read about the Ephesian church age, you say, well, that was a good church age, and you toss it over to the side. No, there's nuggets in that church age book that come from the Ephesian church age that pertains to you. Because we're at the end. We're at the end, and we can look back, and like Brother Dale said, we get every promise. We get every overcoming from all church ages back. You and I do. Every one of them is what you and I get. So thank God for that, amen? We're in the end time, folks. The book's open. And God wants to give it to us more than we want it.
Amen?
All right, so now let's go to the next one. Revelation 6, verse 5. There we go. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a little black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. See thou not hurt the oil and the wine. Now what is the oil? The oil is the Holy Ghost and the wine is the stimulation of revelation. As Brother Dale was saying this morning, listen, you cannot get a revelation from God without the Holy Ghost. Now, you can get a knowledge that will take you to a place to get born again. Like you heard my testimony not too long ago. I read all the books and I listened to tapes. I was 14 years old. Well, you know what? I got a stimulation from that. And it stayed in there. In my gray matter, it stayed there because it was part of my memory. But folks, it didn't help me for the next 20 years. There was an interval in there between me and God that I'm very ashamed of.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And God didn't have, there wasn't nothing. He could have poured all that word inside of me and it wouldn't have done me no good. Why? Because he wasn't inside of me.
Right.
People think just because we know that, that you're not supposed to cut your hair and it's in the Bible, Brother Brown said, that's just the ability to read.
That's
what he said. That's just the ability to be able to read. You can read and see where it says a woman shouldn't cut her hair.
Right.
But you know what? There is a revelation behind that.
Yep.
Amen? Because your headship's Christ. We all of us shouldn't be cutting our hair. You understand what I mean? In the spiritual aspect, because we are feminine in the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen? Our hair is our covering. We're not supposed to cut ourselves off from God, even as men, because we are feminine in the body of Christ. Is that okay? I know I must be boring y'all to death because most of you are asleep. I tell you, you sleep through this if you want to, but one day you're going to thank Brother Dale and myself and these ministers for bringing you the truth. Because you won't hear this everywhere. I ain't bragging on nobody. I'm bragging on God. Because you know what? There's somebody in here has to be getting it, because God's not going to stand up here and preach through all of us and y'all don't get anything. Somebody's going to get something, even if it's just one of you. But I just like to think all of us are. Maybe you're just praying in silent when you got your eyes closed. And you, okay. It's rough as we get older, you know. It just really is. Revelation 6, verse 5. And when it opened the third seal, we go to the third seal. The third beast says, come and see. Now, who was the third beast? The third beast was the man. So we've had the lion, ox. What are you laughing about, Louis? Lion, ox, man, don't fall out. When you go to sleep, don't fall. You'll hurt yourself. We'll have to pray for you. Praying for me. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Just don't fall out of that bench. Try that sometime. Get up on the front of the thing and you'll not go to sleep, because you know if you go to sleep, you're going to fall off in the floor. What was I saying? Oh, the man. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. Now, the man is the intelligence. Now, we must get this, because you got to see the pattern. You say, well, what in the world has black got to do with the Holy Ghost? That was one of the questions, even when Brother Dale was preaching them back in the 80s. I'm like, my goodness, what in the world? But inside of you is death, if you're not born again. But that old nature inside of you has got to die before Christ can come in. Amen? Because you can't have a live devil and the live Holy Ghost in your soul at the same time. One of them's got to be dead. Just like, you know what? Just like we go back to the Bible. You're not supposed to have a one wife. You're not supposed to have a one husband. We go back to we covered it under here under marriage and divorce. You can't be married to three or four people and be married to Christ. Your old husband can be dead, though, and you can marry Christ. So our old husband, Satan, has been killed, and he's dead. But remember, we see this as the black horse. But now look, watch this just a minute. And we read that for some of you that wasn't here when I was going through it. We looked at the Bible says, Jesus said to him one day, said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay? So how great is the darkness? Because right here, this is the age when all denominations come into fruition. All denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all denominations became active during coming in from Luther to Wesley's time and into Pentecost and into our age. You're looking at the most horrible time, because God didn't ever set up a denomination. God didn't baptize people in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Man did. But God winked at their ignorance, but it was a black time. God, it was just squeezing the light out of everything.
Right.
All right? Even Wesley and Luther and them, they baptized wrong. They had wrong doctrine, but God winked at their ignorance. Right. But that was the black horse riding through those ages under the man anointing, because if, you know what, if your man's anointing is intelligence. Now it's okay if it's this, to me, this is not the intelligence of man.
Right.
This is the intelligence of man.
Right.
This is the intelligence of the Holy Ghost, because a lion, ox, man, and eagle is the Holy Ghost that anoints you today, right now, to use your intelligence that are not asleep. Everybody stand up. Shake your brother's hand and say, God bless you. If they're still asleep, we need to pray for them. All right. Sit back down. Wait a minute. All right, stand back up. Just shake around a little bit. There we go. We good. All right, sit down. Maybe we can do it while you're standing. That's a good idea. Everybody stand and we'll finish this sermon for about an hour. We'll hear people hit the floor like you wouldn't believe. Knock a whole row of people over. But when it opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Now see, that was the seal that was tore off. Everybody got that? The seal that was tore off was the black horse. But underneath that is a revelation that me and you got to have. So I have to look and see that the blackness of Wade Dale, in my memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, we all got them demons we got to fight. You're not fighting one inside. If you're fighting one inside, you need a new birth. Okay? But you see here, this is not the Holy Ghost to give you the new birth. This is the Holy Ghost that keeps you. And keeps you clean. It keeps anointing you. It keeps cleaning you out. It keeps, Brother Branham said right here, look at this. This is the Holy Spirit. He said, there's lines running down that molds all this together. This is not when you get the Holy Ghost. This is when you get the Holy Ghost. But you work through all these things so that the Holy Spirit can what? Seal that person in. Amen. We want to be sealed in so much that Satan is sealed out. Amen. So that Holy Ghost is not just the Holy Ghost to get you saved, to get you born again. That's the Holy Ghost to keep you going. On and on and on and on. More and more. What? Being born again. We read that scripture there in Peter. Being born again. You say again? I'm just reading what the Bible says. Being born again. Everything we do is a continual, like I said, sanctification. It just, you don't get washed one time. You'd stink. Literally. But we have to take a bath. We have to get washed every Wednesday and every Sunday. Amen? We get washed every Wednesday and every Sunday by the water of the Word. And it's not bad to take one in between all that with regular water. Make sure it's warm. So anyway, we're just all family here, but don't ever do that again. Amen? Yeah. Well, who was it walked up here? Who was it said? Somebody made sure you didn't get the water this time. Okay. Thanks for your help, though. I appreciate you helping when these other brothers weren't here. But don't ever do it again. Find somebody else. Find somebody. That's a knowledge of man that he's not going to do that again. But we see that what's God doing, though? He's taking you, and he's taking you, and he's zeroing you out. I like what Brother Harris said. He said he zeroes you out. You're zeroed out. In other words, you're dead. If you're dead, Paul says we are dead, and our life is hid in Christ. Amen? Because if any part of us is alive, remember the statement I always say, God will fill those who are not full of theirself. Amen? Because if you're full of yourself, there's no place for God to be. Amen? But if you'll empty yourself out, then I'll promise you God will fill you up. Amen? So let's just keep on going. Listen, we're the 11th hour worker. All these things are being packed into us. But you know what? We're the astronaut. We're able to receive this pressure. We're able to receive this word that God's bringing us. Amen? I just believe that. I mean, yeah. The things we discuss and talk about, man, it's just supernatural. Okay? I just believe it is that we're, Brother Brown said, we're a what? A prophetic people, a supernatural people. We have supernatural insight. Why? Because we're reading things that man has read this for hundreds of years and said, well, you know, Brother Brown even preached a white horse rider being the Holy Ghost. But when the seal was broke, Brother Brown didn't see Christ. He saw Satan Superman at first with the seal. That was the seal. But once that seal was tore off, he had to see Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the seals. And then Jesus Christ being in you, in your journey, is the Holy Ghost, what? Living in your life. It is the Holy Ghost in you doing the work, not you doing the work. Amen? So now let's go to Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8. Excuse me. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And a power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So this is a mixed color animal. Right. This is 1, 2, and 3 mixed together to make 4.
Right.
White, red, black mixed together to make a pale horse color or a mixed color. Brother Branham said a horrible putrid color. Yeah. All right. But what it is the power of Satan all mixed together. Well, that's what it's coming to. It's coming to a head because after this fourth seal, we take a rapture. We take a rapture. Rapture takes place on the fourth seal. We explain that, all right? So it's a mixed color. What do you see now? Look at all these doctrines. It's all mixed.
Right.
Like Brother Dale's preaching, not being mixed with faith. We read this in Hebrews this morning downstairs. They heard the word, but not being mixed with faith. You and I have got to, number one, realize who we are, what church age we're in, what promises we get, what overcoming we get. We the book's open, folks. That you can see all these things. You're privileged to be able to see this because what? It's the eagle anointing. It's the one that's the highest up. It's the one that doesn't start drinking milk. An eagle starts eating meat. He never drinks milk. Mama eagle goes and gets the squirrel, chews it up into little bitty nuggets, and gives it to the animal. Eagle never drinks milk. There's no milk glands for it to drink milk with. It's a meat eater. And that's what you and I are. We're meat eaters. We love the meat of the word. So this is church age number 7, which now, look, it's not just the Holy Ghost. It's incarnate word. It's the word being made flesh, as we were talking many times before. And the word was made flesh, your flesh. We will in the body change become the incarnate word. But it's got to start to develop.
That's right.
It's got to start somewhere to develop into someone is going to just walk right in to a body change and become the incarnate word.
Amen.
And then the dead in Christ is going to be the incarnate word. They're coming back here to be what? God in human flesh.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. But this is the eagle age. And when we get to the fifth seal, you don't see the lion, ox, man, and eagle. You don't see any of the beast. Because why? Because we take a rapture in the seventh church age or the fourth seal. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, we've not been through this, so I just want to refresh your memory. Whatever memory y'all got left after you fall asleep. But the fourth seal, the rapture takes place. Then what does God do? He starts dealing with Israel.
Yes.
Okay? The Holy Ghost goes through two prophets to Israel, and they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, 144,000 of them, through two prophets. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? But now we got a cover. Let's go to Revelations 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, immediately it goes into another dimension. Because a lion, ox, man, and eagle is your Holy Ghost in this dimension.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost in this dimension that's going to take us out of this dimension into another dimension.
Right.
Then God's going to start dealing with the Jews. We're over in another dimension.
Right.
Amen? We're at the wedding supper. Whatever we're going to do, we're in another dimension while God comes and deals with the Jews. But now we see when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. No beast. No beast saying, come and see. In other words, no Holy Ghost on the earth. When we leave this place, there's going to be no Holy Ghost except in two prophets. All 7 billion people, there's going to be two people with the new birth. Two people is going to have the Holy Ghost. Then they're going to preach and it's going to bring 144,000 in. But what a dark time. That's why you see that black come up. And then you see the mixed color of all that together. But it's going to take what? Not the mixing of God to get us out of here, but it's going to take justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, incarnate word to get us out of here. That's what's going to get us out of here. All right? And we're heading toward that. I know we are. We're getting really close. And the older ones say amen. The younger ones are like, what are they talking about? Brother Donnie, amen's the loudest every bit of that. He's heading toward one of the oldest ones in the group, so I guess that's what's helping him out. That's all right, though, isn't it? Abraham was 99. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held, not the testimony of Jesus Christ. Everybody remember that?
Yeah.
All right. And they cried with a loud voice and said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? Now, Brother Branham said that couldn't be the bride. Because, see, many people, even Brother Branham, thought that was the souls under the altar that were the early church or part of the church ages.
Right.
When that seal come off, and Brother Branham could read, and that angel said, read that again. I just believe the angel, because remember, the angel that come to Brother Branham every day never gave him a revelation.
Right.
It was that angel pointing him to a scripture and quoting him scripture that Brother Branham had to take through the filter of the Holy Ghost that was inside of him to get that revelation to bring it back out to me and you. Amen? An angel can't give you a revelation. Only God can give you a revelation. Amen? But the angel would say, hey, read that again. Avenge? Testimony they held? Who are these people? Brother Branham said they can only be Jews that were blinded so that you and I could come in. Because look, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now that, Brother Branham said, if that was a Christian, you don't do that. Listen, there is no one in the sixth dimension. I don't care if they got murdered. There's no one in the sixth dimension saying, I'll be glad when I get back into that next dimension. I'll take care of my boss or whoever that was. No. That's the furthest thing from their mind.
Right.
Amen. That's the furthest thing. But these people still have it in their mind that they were done wrong. They were wronged. O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Now what is a white robe? White robes, eternal life. Amen. White robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants, which is who? The Jews. Also and their brethren, the 144,000, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now how were they killed? They were killed under persecution of the Jews. Right? The 144,000 is going to be killed under the persecution of the Jews. The sixth seal, persecution of the sixth seal, is what's going to kill those Jews. Amen?
Amen.
This is probably the worst response I've got, so I think I'll just... We might stop and take communion. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. This ought to excite you. This ought to make... Because this isn't talking about you. I'm not talking about Jews. Sure, you have to use them as an allegory. But my heavens, people, this is our redemption.
Right, right.
This is what we're going home on. We're not going home on that Brother Branham sent a prophet.
Right.
We're going to go home is that what he said has now become alive in our heart, and we become what he said.
Right.
So these are Jews. But look at this. You talk about grace. You talk about grace. Now, see, we've got to bring the fifth seal, the sixth seal, and the seventh seal back here. Everybody okay with that? Because remember, we're gone. The fifth seal is to the Jews, but you and I have to get the thunder that's under that seal. The thunder under that seal is God is giving eternal life to a group of people that didn't even know who he was. That literally turned him down and said, let his blood be on us and our children. And God gives them eternal life because he literally blinded their eyes so that you and I could come in.
Amen.
Amen. So what about, you think of how many times when you read that fifth seal, look at how many times Brother Brown says grace, grace, grace. The greatest grace seal. Well, what's the greatest grace to me and you? Is it God changed your body? God give you eternal life? Did you want it? Oh, once we started. No. Remember Brother Brown said, you didn't go searching for God.
Right.
God went searching for you.
Amen.
Amen. So what about grace? So that form, this is, we come back to that justification under the fifth seal. The real you didn't do it. You got to realize that that thing that's inside of you today never sinned a day in its life.
Amen.
Never had a bad thought.
Amen.
So the real you didn't do it.
Right.
And we must see that under this fifth seal. That justification is that it's already took us to the glorified body. Because remember we talked before, if the rapture takes place here, somewhere in here, we got to get a glorified body.
That's right.
You can't go in a rapture without a glorified body. Amen? So you got to have had one back here somewhere. So under the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal, remember the seventh seal is coming. We'll talk about that later. But the fifth seal shows us that we're already redeemed. Already redeemed. We just got to believe that. Amen? And walk into it. All right, let's go. Revelation 6, verse 12 to the sixth seal. We were just finished with it, so we're not spending too much time. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Remember, this is a total disruption of nature. Look, everything, this is nature. Sun became black. Moon became blood. Stars of heaven fell. Fig trees cast in untimely fruit. Mighty wind. Heaven departed. Mountain and island. We're talking about nature. All right? And that's the last thing that you and I, listen, the last thing that you and I that's keeping us from being taken to body change is our memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Because that's what the whole paradox is. It's that thing inside of you is trying to tell you that you're already there. That thing inside of you is trying to tell you, you already been redeemed. You already been glorified. You just got to get, then what happens is God's down here working out through that filter of memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Satan's out here working back through it this way, trying to get back in through your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. And he's trying to tell you what? He's trying to give you a laundry list of why that you can't do these things. Now, God didn't give us one. He said, those who he's justified, he's already glorified. I mean, you don't need to even expound on that. And the heavens departed the scroll when it rolled together. Every mountain, every island moved out of their place. Kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men. They didn't make a rapture. And every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains. And to the mountains, said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Now we know for sure that that was the judgment seal of the word. We read that. Brother Brown, that's a quote. Brother Brown said this is a judgment seal. It's also the tribulation seal. We are not here when that sixth seal opens in its reality. Because it is a total disruption of this earth. Remember, it was opened in a threefold manner. So what's God doing? Remember, sanctification is cleaned and set aside for service. Now, God's already cleaned us up, and he's cleaning us up now, but he's getting ready to clean the earth up.
Oh, yeah.
All right? A total disruption of nature. It's got to be you and I have got to have so much of a nature change that we can say, I and my Father are one, and these other things. And the shut's going to all pull away. We were talking about it a couple weekends ago, and it's true. Because remember, the life was in that shuck. Listen to me just for a minute. The life was in the shuck. At one time it was green, it was pliable, and it was protecting the seed that was down inside. It had life in it. But that life moved from that shuck and went into the seed. Well, what? This dried up. It rattles in the wind. It protects that seed, but it's not seed. Seed looks back to seed. Because when God put this in the seed in the ground, it didn't look like a shuck. It was seed. That's what you and I have to look to. We've had carriers. We've had all these different people. You and I all came through some kind of denomination. You and I came through some kind of doctrine. Amen? And at one point, some of that doctrine, God winked at the ignorance. But now that we've come to where it's what? Seed time. When it's seed time, the shuck's going to pull away because you know why? Because if I say I and my Father are one and I'm seed. I'm it. But if I'm shuck, I can't be seed. You can do all you want to. Shuck is a shuck. And the shuck can't stand for the wheat to say, I seed and my Father seed are one. Because that's what he said. He said the shuck's going to pull away. Why? Because he can't stand it because it's not seed. You and I have come to, we see this right here in this part of sanctification. God so burns this earth so much that he can walk on it.
Right.
Now what about burning you so much that he can walk in you?
Right.
Amen. So that's what we're heading toward, folks. We're heading toward that. We're walking through it now, I believe, that we're being washed by the water of the Word. This is the last great push of sanctification, because listen, when my body gets changed, I don't need it. I don't need sanctification. I'm there. Like I was telling the church the other day, or last Sunday, you know, we have faith, right? We're faith-based people. Right? But now, what part of that then, though, becomes a reality? Because faith has to end somewhere. Brother Brown said faith alone won't do it. Because, you know what? I got up this morning, and I hoped, by faith, that my Chevrolet would make the journey up here with gas in it or not. Amen. Some people come here on empty. Some people come here full of themselves. I don't thank God for coming here empty. But anyway, so I was hoping then, listen, this morning I knew we were having church at, I had to be here at 9:30 or 9 o'clock, right? Now my journey was the faith and the hope that I would get here. But now look, folks, I don't have to hope I'm preaching. I don't have to have faith that I'm preaching. I am preaching. I am preaching. And that's what we've got to come to. It's what I was talking about in the acts of a play. When you see those acts of a play, those are people and they come to a great finale. And when they come to finale, what happened? They walk out on the stage and they bow. Why? Because they're finished. It's done. They've completed what? They didn't hope they got their lines right. They didn't hope that the props worked. They're finished. That's why I read that scripture. Jesus said, it is finished. You and I have to come to a place to where we say, it is finished. What? Redemption then, yeah, is over. For those that come to a body change, it will be. You don't need it anymore. But it's a total disruption of nature, and it opened in a threefold manner. What was that threefold manner? Number one was it cleansed 144,000 Jews that had to go through the tribulation to die. It cleansed the foolish virgin because she had to go through the tribulation because she didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to clean her up while she was here. Right? All right. And then also the third fold was what? The purging of the earth. Get the earth ready for the millennium. And who's the millennium for? It's for the Jews. But you and I get to come back on a honeymoon and sit with the Son of David on the throne in the millennium and have a wonderful 1,000 years of just whatever we want to do. It doesn't matter. Everybody all right? Because remember, too, we got to look at this. The seventh seal opens in a threefold manner, but we'll get to that later. But remember then last Sunday, three Sundays ago, we talked about the interval, which is a gap or a time of just hang on. You know, God created the world in 6 days. He rested the seventh. Now, that's an allegory because God don't ever rest. He didn't fold his arms up and go set up on a star somewhere. No. He was finished with his physical creation, right? So he was done. He rested. But there was an interval of time, and you know what that interval of time is? It's right now. That interval of time is now that you and I are here today in time, but we're not time creatures. We're caught in time. Because remember, I said a few weeks ago, that every time you see that interval between the seals, the vials, the plagues, the church ages, and all these things, you see the Holy Ghost come on the scene. Right. Yeah. Amen? Same way with the statue of a perfect man. You go, one, because remember, face, not an ad. Right?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's an interval.
Right.
Then the seventh.
Right.
So that's what we're in now. We're in that interval time. Okay? We're in that interval to where the Holy Ghost is, looks like he's not doing anything, but he's working. He's doing something through you and I. Because as we said many times before, Brother Brown tells us, and we'll read them all next Sunday, six seals is what finishes redemption.
Right.
Jesus preached six seals and he stopped.
Right.
Amen? And also, you look at the sixfold purpose of Daniel. What happens? You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then they got to build a millennium temple. And then we enter into the millennium. So there's always an interval that we have come to a place to where, look, we're finished. When we go into rapture, we can say just like Jesus, it is finished.
Right.
So I'm going to read that scripture one more time. I'm going to read Revelations 8:1. They didn't get that on there for some reason. That's okay. That's fine. Just stay where you at. Revelations 8:1, we'll start near next Sunday. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And Jesus in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. It is finished. Brother Brown says, what is the seventh seal? The end of the struggling world. The end of all things. So who's it going to end on? Who's it going to end on? It's going to end on the seventh seal. Well, who's the seventh seal? We say, oh, it's Brother Branham. I can keep talking. Y'all keep listening. They say, oh, no, it's Brother Branham. Got to come back. Or it's, Lord, I hate this one. They say that the seventh seal is polygamy. Why in the world? All of y'all that just has one wife, they say amen.
Amen.
That's right. But you know what? They made it everything but what it is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are the manifestation of these seals. These seals are not pieces of paper. They're not quotes and comments. It's a life. It's what you live. It's what you do. It's what you breathe. It's this message. In flesh. Let's stand our feet. This message has taken on flesh. Not words, not pieces of paper.
Right.
It's flesh. This message is flesh.
Amen.
If God was the Word made flesh, then you are the Word made flesh.
Right.
Ain't no other way to look at it.
Right.
But that you and I are God in human flesh, called a bride to finish this thing up.
Right.
Satan's going to ride off, and I hope he's already rode off. In your life, I hope if he hadn't, I hope he's getting ready to ride away. Because when he does ride away, Brother Brown said, death will come up your arm and you'll just what? Wipe it away.
Right.
Wipe it away. What? That old devil comes and says something, you just wipe him away.
Right.
You know why? Because he can't get a hold of you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for what you've, for what you've said to us, Lord. May it sink into our heart. Just a refresher course that we've been on here for a year, Lord. Sorry we took so long, maybe bored the people to death, but Lord, we pray that this great time that we're in, we must see these things. It's got to be the meat of the Word that's going to take us out of here, not just skim milk. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one, give us supernatural strength and revelation. Be with us all during the week, Lord, till we come back on Wednesday. Lord, I pray that you sanctify us at this moment, Lord, for taking of this communion, that we can remember every month, Lord, that you died for our sins. You hung on a cross to take away the shame. You took our shame so that we didn't have to have any. You took away all the things, Lord, and when you said it is finished, you meant it. Now what you did was a few days later, you entered into a bride and you continued your work. In them. Not a one-man show anymore, Lord, but it's a many-membered body that before the foundation of the world, you knew who would accept it and who would not. You knew who would take it and endure to the end, and a group of people would leave this world. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for sending us a prophet. Thank you for giving us a wonderful pastor, Lord, and deacons and elders. A good group of people, Lord, that comes to this church. We pray that you'd just sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. We gotta draw closer together. Bind Satan out of this place. Make sure, Lord, that we come here, Lord, expecting to hear from you. And Lord, I believe you'll get something if you come believing that we'll meet you here, Lord. You've never left us or forsaken us. You give us all things. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us in the firm of this service. Sanctify us truly, Lord. Clean us out. Don't set us aside for service, Lord. Put us in service so that we can do something for you, Father. Bless the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here. Lord, bless the little sister Hope there with the new baby. We pray that you'd just take care of her, give her supernatural strength and comfort, and be with each one, Lord, that has anything going on in her life. Truly, again, let us hear a wonderful report from Brother John about Sister Maya, Lord, that everything's well and that everything will be fine, Lord. We consider them just real close friends, Lord. And we pray that you'd just touch them now, Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us in this communion service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Dale.
Amen. Let's give our brother a good hand. You believe it? We believe it because it's part of our own journey. That is our journey. We're taking a journey, right? And we just thank God for it. Amen. We come to this time through the communion part. And we just thank God that He's allowed us to